All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the great world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. From the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to, and we bring it to you completely for free. So happy freaking Thursday. It's a big day in the crypto markets. It's a big week, as it normally is over here. We got a lot of important topics that we want to discuss. And starting right from the top here, I mean, lots of macroeconomic news. We had FOMC, we had big tech earnings, yet we still didn't get a rate cut, and the crypto markets responded accordingly. On top of this, we just got the long-awaited White House crypto report. We're going to talk about all the juicy details inside of here. It's a little bit of an oxymoron there, because you'll find out as we get into it with maybe the lack of juicy details. But we're going to talk about what was discussed inside of it. However, there is a lot of other juicy material that we need to talk about, not only with JP Morgan continuing to jump on the crypto train, partnering with Coinbase, making some big decisions and stepping in the right direction, but we're also seeing records broken on the Ethereum ETF side. Michael Saylor coming out and saying that it is going to be a historic earnings sessions for Strategy, and overall crypto adoption is pushing and continuing. So, TiVo, we got another awesome rundown here. Lots to talk about. Are you ready to do this thing?
Yeah, man, an exciting day, a cool little macro day to recap FOMC. We'll do that at the jump. And then those big tech earnings that came out last night absolutely crushed and are sending markets higher. So I think there's a little bit of macro news to take us take an antidote with. And even though necessarily not directly crypto related, I think it's a macro market discussion. Yeah. And then, yeah, some really fun, you know, the crypto report, but some other really, really fun topics here on the back end that we're excited to get to.
I mean, let's kick off with the macros first. This is just gigantic news because we had FOMC yesterday. We have big tech earnings this week. We have a lot going on, and it's moving the markets. And, you know, it's the markets have been at a place where, like, okay, you know, are we gonna pull back yet? Is this the new norm where we just see green on green on green? I think that the Ethereum ETFs are on like a 4-week green streak or something like that. I read something saying that they were at 19 days of consecutive net inflows or something along those lines, which is just a crazy number. I'm having weeks and weeks of inflows. But on the macro side as well, we're seeing a lot going on. And when the things that stuck out to us, we were texting about this yesterday as it was happening. Microsoft and Meta earnings came in, and both of them just crush. They're spending more, but they're also seeing big growth and just about an increase to everything of importance. So what does this mean and how does this affect crypto? Well, when we look back at Liberation Day, right? Everyone was saying, oh, you know, the tariffs are going to affect this. The changes in policy are going to do that. It's going to be so bad. There's going to be inflation. There was fears about all these things. And so far, like, everything has been wrong. Earnings, they said earnings would get hurt. Earnings haven't been hurt. They're growing at like record rates. These are some of the best earnings, if not the best earnings that we have ever seen. Tech's growing, finances are growing. You're having really no sign of inflation, at least not thus far. Everyone said, oh, it was gonna happen. And then they always say, oh, it'll be next month. Oh, it'll be next month. It's August. We're pushing into August tomorrow. Really no heavy sign of inflation picking up really at all. And so everyone who thought the market was going to crash, there's going to be a depression, there's going to be a rise in inflation, earnings reports were going to get hurt, the crypto market was going to crash. The people who said all this, they've been so incredibly wrong. And we want to bring this to everyone's attention, because what does this mean? Well, if big tech is crushing it and we're not seeing any of these effects, what does that mean for risk on investors, and what does that mean for the crypto market? Well, that's a positive sign. It means, hey, there's probably more upside. The warning signs that people thought would bring crypto lower, and probably the TradFi markets as well, they're just not in sight. I can't see them. And we're seeing a lot of things push up to the upside. So I think Bitcoin and crypto and altcoins, they all have more upside potential here. I think the only dark horse was with that FOMC rate decision that we had yesterday. We've said, hey, rate cuts are historically a really good thing for the crypto market. Us over here, biasly being towards the crypto markets, we want to see rate cuts because we know it would send Bitcoin higher, it would send altcoin higher, it would send everything, right? Everything would probably see quite a bit of upside if we got rate cuts. It's no surprise that we didn't get one yesterday. The likelihood of us getting one yesterday was really, really low in the first place. But I think seeing earnings crush and everything crush and do so well and not get those cuts is just as infuriating. And the big argument now is like, oh, well, the economy is doing so well that we don't have to cut. But I think that that's a double-edged sword, right? Because, and we've ranted about this, I don't want to make this too big of a segment, right? I want to keep it more crypto-related. But, you know, for the Fed to kind of bouncy ball or balance beam between we're forward-looking, we're backwards-looking, we're data-looking, we're reactionary, we're actionary, and it just feels like they are saying whatever it is to fit the narrative that they want to push here. And that's just the way that it feels, right? Just from my biased perspective, that's the way that it feels to say that they used to be backwards looking and now they're forward looking. I'm not sure what to say here, because so far we haven't seen the effects of inflation. We haven't seen any companies like struggle with this stuff. And the biggest sectors here is the private sector. It's the smaller sectors. Large caps are doing great, but I think the rate cuts are needed to help the private sector and the smaller ones. And that's where it would just help everyone out the most. So you look at this, no rate cut yet again, but everything is as healthy as can be. And I think that we can see, I think we can have a world where there's both rate cuts and a healthy economy, and there's like healthy markets and rate cuts at the same time. I think we're at a stage of like maturity, and especially like where we're at right now, where we could easily see both. So, you know, a little bit of a letdown, definitely not a surprise, but I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
I really don't have much to add, just because I think to your point, it's not something to go over. I really think it's confusing to try to figure out how the crypto markets, how the Fed is making their decision. The most interesting note was there was two dissenting opinions. So the Fed governors make up the board. And usually, you know, every once in a while, like one Fed governor might dissent and disagree with the decision. This was the two Fed governors dissented, which is the first time in over 30 years. Yeah. So you're getting to the point now and where, you know, even the Fed body, which is a, you know, historic governing body of monetary policy, is making historic moves as well, in the sense that, you know, two dissenting opinions. I think that is actually more interesting than the decision itself. But, you know, short and sweet here, this is really what the markets think of the Fed right now as a whole.
It doesn't matter what you people think.
That's it feels.
It exactly. That's exactly why I pulled up that clip. I didn't even think of that until you're talking. I knew you were going to toss it to me. I was like, "Well, what do I think?" And I was like, The market, it doesn't matter. The market doesn't care. It's like Powell, the market was up all day. Powell does his little Q&A, and then I think it's just algorithm trading, honestly. They get a couple sound bites, and they parse through the information, and then there's this sharp sell-off right after he does the Q&A, and then tech earnings come out, and we're up double digits. So it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what you think.
And like, that's, you look at it and like, obviously retail wants this. Obviously the private sectors want this. Anything that's not a large cap wants this. It's clear the government wants this. You look at like all the financial people, even on CNBC, even they're like, at this point, they're like, well, like, is this really still going on? And even they're having a hard time believing it. And it feels like it's like an auditorium of everyone outside of the Fed and maybe a few of the large cap players, which even they would benefit from. But everyone outside of the Fed, and they're just like, we don't care. But I don't know. Again, I'll withdraw from this. That's the last I'll speak of it. But you're right in the sense that after we saw this happen, there's a really sharp sell-off in crypto. And I was looking at it, and it was looking like a breakdown. It was looking like it was going to send us lower. The crypto market did not react well to not getting rate cuts once again. And we saw a bit of a sell-off, and it wasn't until the earnings came out that things started bouncing back to the upside and saying, okay, well, you know, yes, we aren't getting the rate cuts we wanted, but at the same time, everything is doing very, very well on the flip side of that. So,
with Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Yeah, and kind of another point of doing very, very well, these tech earnings came out last night and absolutely crushed. Microsoft, Meta, I think the standing point of Microsoft was the pure supply and demand of their cloud infrastructure. They're running into a supply problem. And then when it comes to Meta, obviously their huge bet on AI, where they're going out and everybody's seen the notes of them poaching top AI talent, giving them LeBron James type contracts. We're talking $100 million contracts to come over. And I feel like, you know, the bulls are saying, you know, this is the second, third inning of the AI revolution. And the bears are saying, actually, you know, this AI stuff isn't going to come to fruition and bring the value that the investment is, it's going to be a, you know, it's not ready yet type of thing. Too much investment's going into it. And you keep waiting to see these CapEx numbers go down and maybe, you know, the profits come down because too much CapEx. And I mean, dude, Meta absolutely crushed it last night with CapEx rising. So it's crazy.
It feels like everyone's crushing it. You know, the only one that I've seen maybe not do great was Spotify, but you have like, you know, obviously Meta, you just had Microsoft, you had, I just had a bunch of examples and now I'm brain farting on it. But you had a lot of these companies. I know even like SoFi, even in the traditional space, they've been making a huge push for crypto. We were talking about it in our group chats last night. SoFi's making a huge push into crypto, and so far they've reaped the rewards of it. They came out and they were crushing. Robinhood, who has been doing great and just seeing tremendous growth, again, making a huge push into the crypto markets. Mm-hmm. They crushed it as well.
Yep. Actually, fun fact from Robinhood, obviously, you big Robinhood bulls in general. The only thing that Robinhood missed on was their crypto revenue. I thought that was really funny. Because crypto's been so high. I mean, it's just because I think the estimates got too high, but they crushed it on everything else and they missed on crypto revenue, which I don't know. As a shareholder, I mean, as a crypto person, I'm kind of like, damn, I wish they did better. But like at the same time, it means that their business is maturing so well.
It is, and I think with the crypto side, they kept raising the expectation and raising the expectation, because for a while it was growing at like an uncontrollable or an unsustainable rate.
Yep.
And so they kept having these crazy raises on what they were expecting. And eventually you get to a point where you're like, all right, it's going to be tempered back into reality. And that's a little bit of what we're seeing now at the moment.
Yeah, and it's just it's a quarterly estimate compared to like just go look at year over year for a bunch of different stocks, and it's absolutely crushed. But Robinhood year over year is unbelievable. But we bring that up. I think it's time to transition to what the people came for, what they know, what they love. We're going to dive into the crypto part of it now. We're going to start off with some technical analysis. Just to tie a bow on it before I hand it off to Brendan, the reason that we bring that up is to showcase, number one, just the macro environment of what's going on. Number two, with all this tech earnings and the stock market flying high, I personally think it showcases how much this V-shaped rally off of the Liberation Day lows is truly is like one of the most hated rallies of all time.
Yeah.
Because you have all this cash on the sideline, and then you see these reports from the Metas, from the Microsofts, and these stocks are going up, you know, 8, 9, 10. I think Meta was up 11-12% at the bell. This is showcasing how much cash is on the sideline waiting for these dips, waiting for it to come back into them because either they sold or they missed out. I really think it's showcasing how much of a hated V-shaped rally this whole move was in general, because these type of moves on this big of a stock with this market cap is an insane amount of money inflowing to it overnight off of earnings.
Yeah. No, you're right, man. And we always like to kind of show the link between the two and like what the macroeconomic environment looks like, because I think that understanding how healthy that looks just bolsters the case for crypto. Because if you look at all these big companies, they all want in on crypto, right? You look at, you know, we've talked about Uber and Amazon and JP Morgan and all these different publicly traded companies, like they all want in on crypto, and a lot of them have already started working with it. So understanding that they have a lot of cash on the sidelines, they're very successful, and they're about to be spending increasingly more cash on the crypto market is an important thing to understand. It's not like they're in like a tough spot where they're like, maybe we won't be able to spend as much on crypto. Maybe we'll have to dial back on R&D and development and other stuff. No, it's like they are going all in on this, and they're crushing. So I just think that that accelerates the way that they're going to be looking at, handling, and growing their crypto side of things, similar to how we said, like SoFi and Robinhood have done that. Coinbase with a huge partnership with JP Morgan. I'm sure we'll talk about that in just a few minutes here. But yeah, you know, healthy on the TradFi side, especially as they see adoption. Yeah, and Tivo, you're muted for a second here. Just
yeah, my apologies there. The last day on vacation, so we got the whole fam enjoying some breakfast. But the I was saying, oh, we got a great JP Morgan segment teed up with everything from the news to hot takes to even some memes. So we'll tease that, but let's give the people what they want, Brendan. Let's pull up the charts.
Yeah, let's take a quick look at the charts and see what's happening over here. It is a fascinating time because we're getting a little bit of choppy price action. Starting things off over here with Bitcoin, still just consolidating. I'm a little bit nervous, Tivo. Got to be honest with you. I'm a little bit nervous. It's not every day I come on here and I say that. But what we're seeing here is lower highs over here on Bitcoin and a pretty stable level of support around 115, 116K. Typically, this reminds me more of like a descending triangle. I know it's not perfect, right? It's not. But, you know, we're seeing ourselves kind of put pressure into the downside. And so that tends to make me a little bit more nervous on the Bitcoin chart in the short term. So what does that mean? Well, maybe there's a possibility that we retest our previous all-time high area around 110, 111K, down a little bit deeper towards that 50-day moving average. I'm not rolling that out at a time like this. And listen, I'd love to be wrong. We are seeing Bitcoin kind of consolidate below this 20-day moving average as it's seeing lower highs. I think there's just a little bit of pressure building towards the downside here. So we like to keep it on bias, right? We always talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. But just looking at this, there could be a little bit of a push down here in Bitcoin. And I'd love to be proven wrong. I think any kind of higher high here above 120K and closing up there, I think that invalidates this idea. But so long as we continue to see lower highs building into this flat support around 116-ish thousand, I think that creates a little bit of a red flag here on Bitcoin. So I'm very optimistic in the mid to long term. I'd say I'm much more cautiously optimistic in the short term, acknowledging, hey, maybe there's a couple percent of a retracement back down to a more reasonable point. And then I think we have this kind of slip, dip, and a rip idea kind of coming out of that.
Wouldn't be the first time we saw that slip, dip, and a rip.
Yeah, it wouldn't. And like you look at a lot of these other like legs up over here, and like it just happens, right? you know, we move up, we pull back. We move up, we pull back. We move up, bigger pullback. We see a bigger move up, and then we pull back. And this is just the kind of thing that happens. You know, over here on Bitcoin, we saw a 12.5% retracement. If we were going to see that again, it would bring us down to 107K. Now, I don't know if we'll actually get down that low, but I bring this up because retracements are normal. They happen. It's not a big deal. And when they do happen, that's actually where I'm doing the bulk of my buying. So rather than buying at all time highs.
We got Mike Lyon in the chat saying he needs a slip, dip, and a rip t-shirt. I actually don't hate that idea.
Good idea.
Yeah, I like that idea. Like some kind of charting. Make the candles some type of funny vibe, and then have just like slip, dip, and a rip underneath. I kind of like that. We might work on that for the Christmas drop, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, exactly, man. I think that's a great idea. In fact, I wish people would come into the chat and tell us stuff like that more often, because we just have these sayings. We're like, oh, slip, dip, and a rip, break, hook, and go. And we say all these like crazy things, and there's probably
Yeah, shout out to Mike there. David's in the chat. Tim's in the chat as well, and he said the bagel army is ready to go. I am thinking if Ethereum hits that $4,000 number that I'm going to make a crypto bagel t-shirt just for myself if we hit that. I'll give it till – can we give it to the end of the summer to break, we'll say, the bagel call? Is that fair?
Yeah.
I guess it can't go underneath, though. That's the problem. It can't test the 100-day. But if we break 4K and get up to that 41, 42 by the end of the summer, I'm going to make the crypto bagel t-shirts.
All right.
Even if it's just for me. I'll put them on sale, but even if it's just for me.
If it happens, I don't know. We'll do something funny. Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah, and then check out below if you're on YouTube. We got the merch store up. We got the Mona Lisa Bitcoin shirt. A lot of fun stuff. But yeah, I think I'm going to make some new designs. So we'll put those in the queue.
Absolutely. I love the chat box. If you're not here live, it's awesome. You should definitely join here live one of these days. But let's move it on to Ethereum here. Ethereum pushing up into that big resistance area right around $4,000. And what we're seeing over here is that, again, we've said, hey, this is a big resistance. We've come up here. We've rejected 30%. We've come up here. We've rejected 40%. Come back up, rejected 60% to the downside, and seen these really deep pullbacks. We're still at resistance territory. We can continue to see that, like, after some of these really sharp moves upwards, all of a sudden Ethereum's struggling, and it's at this zone between 3,800 and 4K. So if we can start seeing ETH start push above 4,000, 4,100, start closing up there, it is essentially in price discovery mode, with the only last resistance being the all-time high around 4,800. I'm still looking at this pretty cautiously. Again, cautiously optimistic is the name of the game here. We've had a fantastic move. Retracements do happen. We're at a massive area of resistance. If we break through this, then the bulls are very clearly in complete control, and the biggest resistance zone is behind us. I am just treading a little bit carefully around here because we know what's happened in the past, but eventually I do think that this 4K area is going to break. I think it can break by the end of this year. I'm just watching to see, are we going to break it right now, or will we break it in a month or two or 3 months from now? So keep an eye on Ethereum up here. Again, I do think it's going to break. It's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if, it's more of a matter of when in my books. And again, I'm always a trader, so I look at this through a trading lens saying, do I want to buy at the resistance area where we've seen 30, 40, and 60% pullbacks historically every single time? You know, it sounds a little bit scary for me to buy at the absolute peak of the resistance level, but on pullbacks, Ethereum is something I'm still very, very bullish on, and especially if we break through and just disrespect that resistance. But and the thing is, TiVo, you know, we've seen a lot of positive sentiment on Ethereum just in general. Like, you look at it from the fundamentals and the technicals, and it feels like it's just winning. It's just winning all around.
Yeah, it's definitely won the narrative, but again, we've talked about this many times, so nothing to dive in deep again, but just the narrative has completely flipped because, you know, months ago, a couple months ago, right, it was the ETH is dead. And I feel like the ETH is dead thesis was on the timeline for almost, you know, a year plus as Bitcoin was completely outperforming, you know, so harshly to the upside. You know, the people that were holding Ethereum felt like
they were just missing out because Bitcoin's ripping so hard. So that final drop below 2K into that, you know, 1500 range was just devastating for people. And the Ethereum dead thesis just made a lot of sense. But now, you know, looking back on that, you feel super silly selling your Ethereum around that $1,500 to $1,800 range after seeing the, you know, tokenization efforts by Robinhood, the Tom Lee becoming on the board of a Ethereum, you know, treasury company. I think we got SBET coming up later in the show, just keeps buying. I think SBET's buying ETH every day. Yeah. So it's a narrative right now that's definitely hot in the streets. And the continuation of that will I think, again, never personal financial advice, but will continue higher if that narrative stays strong and you continue to see the momentum around these treasury companies and just kind of it being the talk of Wall Street. Tying into the point that you said on the top of the show, it's not always super fun. You know, we love crypto and it's not super fun talking about FOMC and then obviously the TradFi stuff, you know, Meta and whatnot is not necessarily our lane, but it's cross-pollinated now. This isn't 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago where, you know, TradFi and crypto weren't linked. It's lockstep now, so it's important.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we've seen other altcoins move here as well. You know, obviously, I think the Ethereum narrative is one of the hottest. When Ethereum's, I don't know, dominance was kind of at its low, that's when we saw Bitcoin dominance high, but also Solana dominance was really high.
I got a question from Tim on ETH before we jump to Solana. So Tim had a good point. He's like, ETH had its highest movement between like the middle of the night, between like, you know, midnight and 3 a.m. So he's wondering, is that overseas buying? You know, I don't think we know for a fact, Tim, so we can't, you know, tell you exactly what it is. It could be overseas buying, could be OTC desk buying. It could be these companies, right? They want to buy during low volatility, right? So they can get, you know, the price they want. But Brendan, do you have any thoughts on that for Tim?
Yeah, it very well could be. We've seen that in the past, especially when a lot of the Asian markets come online. We have seen them go and buy pretty heavily. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. I think in this event, like as of yesterday specifically, going back to the tech earnings, we saw those happen in the aftermarket. And then we saw the futures market for like NASDAQ and tech really pump overnight. So I think that might be part of it for last night specifically, is that we just had an overnight rally in tech and in crypto specifically because of some of the stuff that we saw. But yeah, you know, very well could be. We've seen similar stuff happened in the past. But I mean, if we want to keep it on and just kind of look at the rest of the altcoin market at a high level, I saw Tim say, I owe Brendan an apology as I am also mad at XRP too. I didn't hear the first part of the pod and I went back and I listened to it and it wasn't cool. And this is in regards to what we talked about on Monday, just with Chris Larson, you know, allegedly selling off, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of more XRP. And, you know, it was a shame because XRP was crushing it, doing well, all-time highs, just killing it. And then this happens, you know, for, I don't know how many times this has happened, but quite a bit. And, you know, even now it's kind of consolidating right around $3. It is a little bit of a support zone, but you can see the effect that the selling pressure has had, kind of just floating around its local low. You can see it's a little bit further away from the highs. Same thing with Solana, though, and they didn't have the same kind of issue. They're coming back into their previous highs over here, trying to find some support above that 200-day moving average. And the thing about ETH is, like, it's just not seeing that level of selling. You know, you look at ETH, and it's right below its highs. You look at Bitcoin, and it's similar-esque, where it's right below its highs. It's not until you get into some of these altcoins where they're seeing a little bit more selling pressure. But that's just kind of typical given the stage of the market. Bitcoin dominance is climbing a little bit as well. So overall, you know, it looks like the large caps are holding on a little bit stronger at the moment. But as Bitcoin dominance drops, which I think if we look at the big picture, I always like to show this, like if Bitcoin dominance does go back to 40%, then, I mean, altcoins have a ton more upside potential.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody's been positioned for and waiting, even going back as far as a year ago, right? So Bitcoin dominance, kind of like what we said about the ETH story, is like Bitcoin just outperforming, and kind of waiting for that, you know, segment of the altcoin season is here. But I know the team's really bulled up. I was texting Bryce yesterday. We're just kind of going back and forth. Bryce is bulled up. And I think anybody that's been here again long term, you know, again, you've had, you know, some winners, you had some losers, and for the most part, the market, you know, all boats have lifted higher, but you're kind of waiting for that, you know, breakout. And again, I think that narrative around Wall Street coming in is kind of that capital that starts flowing in and can definitely lead us higher. But the reason I believe Wall Street is in is that there's more than you know, it's not just Wall Street, right? It's the government side of things. And so we had the crypto report come out yesterday from the White House, and we were excited about this kind of going back 2 weeks ago when it was announced. And well, we're going to break it fully down. Let's start off with, there was a there's a 60-second video I got here. It was kind of like the recap video they made. I think it's just worth watching because, again, when the White House tweets something about crypto, you probably want to check it out. So let's watch this video. Then Brendan's going to dive us into the report, and we'll kind of give some takes around what we thought about it.
Cody Carbone, CEO of the Digital Chamber. Matthew Pines here, Executive Director of the Bitcoin Policy Institute.
This is an exciting and historic day for the crypto industry.
We're celebrating the release of a comprehensive digital assets report from the Presidential Working Group. It's a marquee event in the history of America's approach to digital asset policy and Bitcoin in particular.
We have a blueprint that will unleash America's ingenuity and bring the innovation that has been offshore back into the United States, making the United States the crypto capital of the world.
A massive shout out to President Trump, Bo Hines, David Sachs, and all of the agency heads who contributed to this report.
We're so appreciative of this administration, this president, for prioritizing digital asset innovation and leadership and ensuring that we are in the golden age of digital assets.
It is time that the U.S. is the crypto leader of the entire world, and this report puts us on track to be that.
So, initial thoughts from me, to be completely honest to the listeners out there that trust us and ask us, we were getting tweets about it last night. You know, what are you seeing in the report? Kind of a lot of fluff, not a lot to be, excited about here, specifically in the report. I think the positives are that it's front of mind. They're still doing events around it, and they keep kind of, I feel like they keep kind of punting a little bit, like, yeah, you know, there's big stuff coming. So eventually we really want to hear some kind of groundbreaking news, and the next topic will be the reserve. We're going to touch on that, but I want to toss it off to you. I know you went through the report. You're our, you know, technical analysis guy. You technically dove into this report. What are you seeing? What are your takeaways from it, even though it wasn't necessarily a groundbreaking day?
You know, here's the thing. I think people felt as if it was a little bit more of a nothing burger, because it wasn't as actionary as people expected it to be. And it was also just like, it was very high level and foundational. So what do I mean by that? It painted the picture for how they want to address and approach the crypto market moving forward. So they talked about regulatory stuff. They talked about how it's traded. They talked about who regulates it and watches over it, and how it should be treated as an asset. They talked about stable coins and their role in promoting dollar dominance. They also just talked about some of these verticals inside of crypto, like DeFi, like tokenization, like Ondo, and I think Chainlink were mentioned in there. And, you know, they talk about the role that this has with banks and in a tax society, and how it's going to be taxed in a framework for like accountability and making sure that it is taxed properly. They talked about, you know, the kind of staying away from CBDCs or central bank digital currencies, which is a good thing. We don't want one of those. They mentioned the idea of the Bitcoin reserve, which was probably the biggest thing that they talked about in there. And just about like, it was just very kind of policy and high level driven. Like, how can we understand this, address this, and like use it moving forward? But that was about it. It was just them like talking about it. It was kind of like if you went to a lecture of a politician who was going to talk about Bitcoin, that's essentially what it was. Is it was them explaining and dissecting it without really doing a lot or having a lot come out of it. And I think that's why people were frustrated, is that they wanted something more actionable. You know, we wanted to know how much of crypto does the U.S. actually own? What does the U.S. actually own? you know, we wanted a more like detailed plan of like, oh, we own this much of Bitcoin, this much of Ethereum, this much of Solana, this much of XRP, this much of fill in the blank. And we wanted a game plan. Are we going to be, what is the game plan for accumulating more? Are we going to accumulate more? Like, what is the steps of doing this moving forward? How is the US going to, you know, promote the growth of the stablecoin market to, you know, essentially like back the dollar? Like, are there going to be, I don't know if like contracts or grants or like, are they going to be subsidizing the growth of that sector? You know, they've said, hey, we're going to be the crypto capital of the world. All right, well, like, what steps are we going to take to get there beyond just explaining that we're going to do it? And again, like, people wanted actionable steps of like, this is the next step. We're going to be doing this. Growth is going to be promoted because of this, that, and whatever. And we just didn't get a ton of that in here. It felt like very just high level. And I think you're right to use the word fluff. It was pretty fluffed up. It was a really, really long report. I went through the freaking thing. I still have it actually pulled up here. I think in total, it was 165 pages or something. So did it need to be that long? Yeah. I know, like, in typical regulatory fashion, those things just are long. But
yeah, I mean, dude, you just said it. You just, you know, our sweet, sweet Brendan just dropped the word frickin' live on the air. Like, he was not happy kind of going through this and not getting any value from it. I don't know, dude. Honestly, the only tidbit is, like, I was sad that David Sachs wasn't really a part of it.
Why wasn't he a part of it?
Right. And so, when they said this, is I really thought there was gonna be some type of press conference. So huge, huge miss by me guessing on that, to be honest, hand up. And I think whenever there's gonna be a huge announcement, David Sachs is gonna be there. So that's, you know, going forward, I guess it would have been announced a day or two before, like, oh, a David Sachs press conference at 2 p.m., you know, in the Oval Office with President Trump or whatever. So that's what you're gonna be looking for, if there's gonna be big news. And I do have a clip here. So I pulled a clip from Bo Hines. So Bo Hines kind of got interviewed on this and kind of looking for an update on the reserve. And so basically my thought was, a couple weeks ago, right, there was all that FUD on the timeline of did the U.S. sell its Bitcoin, and then it got debunked, and then people were still FUDing over it. You know, how much Bitcoin does the U.S. hold? So I thought at least in the report we would get that. Again, another miss. We did not. And so I think that was a lot of the questions. They're kind of doing this press run around the digital asset group, and it wasn't stated. So I pulled this clip of Bo Hines getting asked about the Bitcoin reserve. It is 90 seconds, but I think it's worth taking a look since, you know, we kind of got all excited about this report. Again, in our opinion, a little fluff, basically a nothing burger. But this is the most recent thing about Bo Hines talking about the reserve. So we'll listen to that, break it down, and then we can move on.
I would love to know update on a potential Bitcoin strategic reserve.
Well, look, we have it. It's been established through executive order and the SBR. We also have the strategic national stockpile. The digital assets national stockpile. I think that, one, we wanted to recognize Bitcoin for being unique, and we talk about, you know, what that looks like and kind of the threshold that Bitcoin has created. You know, it's in a class of its own, and everyone recognizes that. But we also wanted to give credence to the work and the development that's happening across other ecosystems, and that's why we have this national stockpile alongside. You know, this actually requires some labor to get this set up properly. You have to build the infrastructure. You have to make sure that you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's to get this done the right way and have long-term success with it. But I've said ad nauseum, you know, we do believe in accumulation, obviously in budget neutral ways, as the president's outlined, but there are countless ways that we can engage in that. We'll act on those that can be most expeditiously implemented. And I think that, you know, people will be very pleased with the direction that we go in, and we'll start moving on that in short order. But obviously in this report, if you read the first digital assets EO, we're tasked with creating a clear and robust regulatory framework. And so that's what we focus on here. We understand the importance of the strategic Bitcoin reserve. We're, you know, enormous fans of Bitcoin and the Bitcoin community, and we want to deliver for them as well, and I'm certain that we will.
So the basically the end of that clip, they said, how much Bitcoin does the U.S. government hold? And he said, we can't discuss that right now, which I think was, you know, a little bit what everybody was looking for out of this report. Thumbs down from Brendan. But in the middle there, accumulation is on our mind, and doing it in budget neutral ways is how we are going to execute on it. Basically saying, hey, we're still looking at this. We're still going for it. I do agree with the first part, as much of fluff as it was. You do have to create the framework. You do have to create the systems to go and do this stuff. So again, we're, you know, 6-7 months into the administration now. I think, again, zoom out, right? We say that all the time. We're looking at the charts. I think maybe, you know, the other side of the coin could be maybe we're being a little greedy and wanting more and more and more. I mean, we've gotten a lot in 6-7 months, especially from the regulatory side. And so I agree. I understand that setting up that framework and the governing bodies to execute on these things, especially when the government starts buying this stuff, it's going to send, I guess, in my opinion, it would send the market into a frenzy, right? When the U.S. makes its first official Bitcoin purchase and they advertise that, I don't know what could happen. I think that could be a wild, wild event.
Sets the standard.
Yeah, it sets the standard. It's a great way to put it. And so, again, at the end there, as much as he said, hey, or the last question I cut it off, this was a little long, was, hey, how much Bitcoin does the U.S. hold? And he goes, I can't discuss that right now. That's a question I think we would really like to know sooner rather than later. But maybe they're not discussing it because they're slowly accumulating it. Yeah. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is maybe they accidentally sold some from the last administration. So we're kind of in limbo again, back where we started there. But it's something that we need to follow. And even though it was a nothing burger, as soon as they do this type of report again, it's something that we have to follow. So we'll bring it to you.
Yeah, spot on, man. Spot on. And, you know, even in regards to what's happening with the crypto ETFs, there was some news overall on that, TiVo, right? I think we got some framework for... Yeah.
It's a great transition because, again, as much as you get this report and it's a, you know, a lot of fluff and a nothing burger, we're making the progress. And so a friend of the program, James Seyfarth here, and Eric from Bloomberg, basically have been kind of piecing together how the SEC and the CFTC combined have basically laid the runway for how these crypto ETFs are going to pass. So there's certain criteria that they're going to have to hit, you know, from where they're, you know, what exchanges they're on. I think the futures contract is a big thing. And so if you can start to find different altcoin projects that hit these markers, then basically the framework, if you can hit all of them, then you have a green light for an ETF. And so I think this was actually the most exciting news regulation-wise this week of these guys pulling this together. But did you have any thoughts around it either, Brendan?
Yeah, I mean, this is what we've been asking for, right? And this is what most people have been asking for. And that was the one good thing that did come out of this report is that we're getting clarity. All these companies who have wanted to adopt crypto, they said, we're willing to do whatever, just give us clarity. That was the big issue with Gensler, is that these companies said, we're willing to comply by like whatever you say, just let us know what the lines are so that we don't cross them. Now, even with the ETFs, there's all these people filing saying, hey, we want ETFs, we'll make them compliant, just let us know what we need to do. And that's what we're seeing a lot of here on both the ETF and on the White House summary side. In that crypto report, we're seeing like pretty clear standards for like, okay, if you want an ETF, if you want this and that, here are the standards. And those lines are becoming increasingly more clear and clear and clearer. And I think that what that'll do is help the adoption of a lot of these new different products and use cases and everything for it to be increasingly more integrated into the TradFi markets. So that's the way that I view this. I think it's not a bad thing to have clear regulation so long as it's the right kind of regulation. And it looks like that's what we're getting here.
Yeah. And I think, again, this is the things that have been moving basically super fast in that first 6-7 months. So it's stuff to get excited about. And this is the floodgates I feel like are building. I feel like these crypto ETFs and staking as well, throw that in there into the pond of water that's built up on this dam. And it feels like this, I'll say Q4, you know, random TiVo prediction, which clearly for this crypto report did not come true. So take it with a grain of salt. But I think Q4 is kind of eyeing up here where these floodgates might open for these ETFs, for the staking. And I think it'll be a great time because it'll be exciting. And then we can kind of get the rotation back of our favorite people in the space, you know, the Matt Hogans of the world, bring them back on and see what they're saying. So I think I like the setup here. I really do like the setup. But kind of a transition here of people and floodgates opening and people buying in here and more things and products coming. Let's just start off with a video, Brendan. I mean, let's really just play this video. And this is the CEO of JP Morgan, folks. And this is him and his thoughts on crypto and Bitcoin.
I've always been deeply opposed to crypto, Bitcoin, et cetera. You pointed out the only true use case for it is criminals, drug traffickers, anti-money laundering, tax avoidance. And that is a use case because it is somewhat anonymous, not fully, and because you can move money instantaneously and because it doesn't go through, as you mentioned, all these systems have built up over many years, know your customer, sanctions, OFAC. They can get bypass all of that. If I was the government, I'd close it down.
Okay.
I've always been deeply.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we present to you Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan, partners with Coinbase to enable credit card purchases on its platform and let Chase customers redeem points for not only USDC, but other crypto products via their platform. A huge day for crypto, a huge day for Jamie Dimon, renowned hater of the crypto markets, crossing the picket line and absolutely bending the knee. Let's give him a round of applause. It's truly a bend the knee moment, Brendan. Your first initial hot take thoughts.
I mean, here's the deal. JP Morgan has been going against what Jamie Dimon has thought about crypto for like at least a year or two now, like probably longer. It's clear that he's had this very biased stance against it. And the JP Morgan, the actual company itself, even though he's at the forefront of it, they keep adopting it more and more and more. And so it feels like they're patting him on the back and they're being like, okay, like we understand you're mad, but we're going to keep doing this. And then this is just another example of that, where they continue to adopt crypto regardless of what his stance is, regardless of what he thinks. This stuff's happening. And it just goes to show, I mean, talk about some of the most powerful people on the planet or like on Earth, like, you know, he's up there. And if he is anti-crypto and he can't even stop his own company from adopting this stuff, what makes you think adoption is going to happen and adoption isn't going to happen anywhere else, right? So I'll say that again. If Jamie Dimon, with all of his influence and power, can't even stop his own company from adopting crypto, how are you going to expect adoption to slow down and stop anywhere else outside of that? Right? I just don't think you can.
No, it's a bend the knee moment. I mean, he has to make some type of public statement at this point. Next time he's on one of those panels or getting interviewed by the New York Times or whatnot. Like, he's been so negative. And then to roll out a program that's backed by JP Morgan Chase that you're now redeeming rewards for, you know, it's not just Bitcoin, Brendan. It's altcoins. It's stable coins. It's like, I think it's huge. I mean, I went on a little meme spree yesterday. You can see here, he's getting knighted. I can share this one here. And we have Jamie Dimon walking in and getting knighted by the Bitcoin army here.
Rise and be bound to the chain eternal. Rise.
What an absolute legend. He's got his cloak there of all the different altcoins. I mean, dare I say it? Dare I say it alive on air, guys? Jamie Dimon has just become a crypto bro. We might have to send him a slip, dip, and rip t-shirt.
I think that I would love, as much as I would love to see him bend the knee and come out and say I'm all in on crypto, I want to see Peter, I think his name was Peter Zihan, the guy who went on Joe Rogan and just trashed Bitcoin for like 15 minutes.
Oh, man. And what happened? We always say, what happened to that guy? We send that clip around all the time. I haven't seen him. That's been tough.
He had a lot of hot takes on that podcast, but I think his hottest take obviously had to have been that crypto's worthless. It's going to zero. It's never going to do this and that. And like, I just want to see an update on him and him just be like, yeah, I was wrong. The unfortunate thing is that a lot of the times I think people are like so ego struck by these events that they just won't. It's like the same thing with Peter Schiff, right? Is he ever going to come out and say Bitcoin's a fantastic asset? Probably not, but yeah, I don't know.
At least for Shifty, he engages with the community in kind of like a trolling way.
Yeah.
So I'll give him credit there, where, you know, he's very social media focused and smart, and he's built his brand around it. So he's gone to he's spoken at Bitcoin conferences. Like, I think his whole Bitcoin experience, even if he missed out on the investments, he's obviously a very successful guy and crushes it on social media and kind of has, I think, fun with it, even though maybe in the beginning he was more serious about hating Bitcoin. I think now it's more of a part of, you know, his branding exercise, basically. So I think, I need more. Like, this can't be the end of the story. I need more. Like, I need to hear from Jamie Dimon. Like, we're offering credit card crypto rewards. I need more. I need to hear from him. Because you can't speak like that. Like, that was, 2 years ago? That wasn't that long ago. Like, oh, crypto, the only use case is it's for criminals. It's like, okay, well, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing with this credit card? I'm not even going to dive into, there's some files and this guy that had an island and he was banked by JP Morgan. We're not even going to dive into that. We don't want to get this podcast flagged, but I need more. I need to hear from Jamie Dimon on it. So we'll stay apprised and keep it going. But we got some hot takes to end the show here. What are we running? Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, quick. Go ahead.
I just checked back on Peter. I think his name's Peter Zihan. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, how's he doing?
I just checked, dude, he's posting videos every single day still on his YouTube channel. He's got about 900,000 subscribers, but posting every single day. And it's usually like him deep out in the nature, just talking like geopolitics. And he's still going strong. I was going through all of his videos to see if he had anything related to crypto or Bitcoin or anything. And there's just nothing. Like, the topic in all of geopolitics and crypto and all that, there's nothing in correlation to Bitcoin or crypto. And so maybe that whole conversation is just buried for forever. But, I see him talk about all these different things in the stock market and the tariffs and steel and aluminum and metals and rates and J-POW. And there's all these other videos, but nothing about crypto. So,
yeah, you got to that's what you got to do. You just got to keep pushing on. You have a bad take. You got to give... It wasn't a historically bad take, but when you give bad takes, we've all had them. Just kind of, at least, I guess he should acknowledge it and admit it because it's that bad of a take, but you got to move forward. So
yeah.
I guess as long as he doesn't, I doubt he'll venture into the crypto lane anytime soon, the way his channel's looking, it sounds like.
Come on the podcast, Peter.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be a good time.
Love to have you.
Yeah, that would be a good time to get him on. But let's, how about us pushing up 50 minutes here? Another epic 2-day week rundown. But we have fun, and these things veer off where we don't necessarily expect it sometimes. But let's do some quick hitters here. Again, wrapping up with ETH, we kind of, this has been an ETH bullish podcast now for about 2 months. We gave you the narrative. We saw Wall Street doing it with all these treasury companies, and then the Robinhood announcement with Arbitrum, that layer two. So let's just give you a little ETH nugget, and then we'll give you a Bitcoin nugget, and then we're going to get out of here, and we're going to see you next week. So also, if there's any questions on the YouTube, start dropping them in. We can hit a couple maybe on our way out. But let's start with our ETH nugget, Brendan. ETF flows, unbelievable record, breaking records here. What are you seeing?
Destroying records. We talked about it last week, or maybe at the start of this week, about how Ethereum had outpaced all of its inflows from the past 12 months in the first 3 weeks of July. Now you look at it and it's just completely blown away those numbers. Ethereum is ending around $5.5 billion in net inflows for July. Of course, we still have today and there's still some time left, but just a ridiculous amount. And I think that if you would have said this at any other point before July, someone would have looked at you and said, you're crazy. I think the previous highest month that the ETH inflows have ever had was around $2 billion. And you go and we'll probably do almost triple that by the end of this month. So if we see any kind of sustained buying pressure that is remotely close to what we have seen in the ETH ETFs this month, if we see anything even remotely close to that for the rest of this year, ETH will be at new all-time highs. That's my idea.
I love it, man. I've got nothing to add other than the crypto bagel. And the crypto bagel is a milestone sentimental moment for the Ethereum community, for the crypto community as a whole. the crypto bagel gave us belief, gave us faith, gave us strength when we weren't sure if we're going to be able to break this 4,000. You ever get a workout, make sure you eat, make sure you hydrate, make sure you fuel. The crypto bagel is giving us fuel to propel us to all new all-time highs on the back of all the beautiful stats that Brendan gave you. I think the stats are important. The ETFs are important. But I personally think, as we put on that chart, the crypto bagel might be the most important thing propelling us into Q4. So we're going to keep that on the chart. There might be some T-shirts available as well for the crypto bagel, but it's something that we're going to watch. But I think just as important as all those stats is the bagel. But, you know, thank you for pulling those stats, Brendan. Okay. Let's do our Bitcoin nugget here. So the Bitcoin nugget, obviously around Michael Saylor, as it is every week. Michael Saylor putting his dots every Sunday, buying Bitcoin on the weekly, it seems. But he posted this last night. It caught my eye. It said, "This will be the most important event in the history of strategy. If you're interested in Bitcoin, our MicroStrategy, our strategy, you should join." And that's the earnings call today. So this afternoon, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern, Thursday, July 31st. A little bit of a teaser. Again, I think we were let down by the crypto report. So I'm not getting my hopes up here. I have no idea what it might be. I just feel like he usually doesn't promote the earnings call. He just kind of does the graphic tweet where he gives you the stats around it and how much Bitcoin they bought and, you know, the Bitcoin, you know, percentages and the stats around the operations of the company with Bitcoin. He doesn't usually promote the call. Do you agree with that statement? Any thoughts of what this could be for a historic earnings call?
I don't. You know, maybe they have a new product or some sort of new data point or some sort of new accumulation plan. I really don't know. The sky's the limit. Listen, you know, when it comes to treasuries, they are the founding treasury. You know, they're the biggest. They're the number one out there. They're the earliest people who start doing it. I don't know. They have been pretty innovative with new products. So maybe it's something along those lines. Maybe it's like a new accumulation plan of like, oh, we're going to accumulate this much over the next year or 5 years. I don't really know, but I'll definitely be keeping an eye on it because with someone of their size, you know that it does have the potential impact to push things higher.
Love it. And all right, we got two questions that came in. We're going to hit them real quick. So I'll lead it off. Brendan, I'm going to toss it to you for a quick hit. So we got Jason here. Jason, what's going on, man? Need to figure out what happened with this latest dip. Are we to see a launch starting today? Patterns started to show for Thursdays. So you, I guess just to preface that, Jason, Brendan will give you a quick hot take. Definitely go back when we're done with the live. Go back to the beginning of the show, like 10 minutes in. Brendan did technical analysis and kind of broke that down for you. But just a quick thought for Jason, seeing anything specific to Thursdays, Brendan, or is this a launch pad higher? I know you kind of broke it down earlier, but just a quick take there.
Yeah, I mean, nothing too specific to Thursdays. I don't think Thursdays have any kind of like a significance. You know, there is the possibility for a dip here, maybe a little bit lower. I wouldn't be too surprised by it. And I think that if we do get a dip, it is like the ideal buying opportunity, in my opinion. So kind of the way that I look at this is I would love to see a slip dip and a rip, but I wouldn't be surprised if something comes out, Bitcoin just skyrockets higher, and like I wouldn't be surprised by that either. So, you know, it does look like pressure is building a little bit to like the short-term downside at the moment, but ultimately time will tell. And at any moment, the crypto market can just say, screw that, I'm becoming bullish, and the buyers flood in.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Thanks for tuning in, Jason. Please subscribe. It's my first time kind of seeing you in the chat. Hope to see a lot more. And for everybody still here, appreciate you guys listening. Give the video a like. It really does help. It helps the channel grow. Give us a like. And if you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe. Turn on the bell because we're going to be doing these lives a lot more like we have been the last couple weeks. And then we've got a question from the Sarge. Salute. Salute to you, the Sarge. Welcome. Have not seen you either before. So the Sarge, Brendan, we're going to help him out. He's a little lost. I'm so lost with investing. Just started, of course, bought in on all the highs and just kind of riding the waves, hoping to break even or sell and re-enter. So Sarge, welcome to investing, man. You're in the right spot for, you know, definitely the crypto markets and getting kind of that 101 level to crypto. You know, the good thing is that you started. I think that's the most important thing. You got a lot to learn, obviously, and it's not always going to be straight up, but the best thing to do is starting. And, And his thing is, what are the top three cryptos expected to take off? Sarge, we can't really give those out to you because it can't be personal financial advice to you on the top three cryptos that you want. I have one suggestion if you're interested. These are always going to be free. We're doing these, you know, 3-4 times a week, so we want to see you here all the time. If you're interested in kind of the portfolio of Brendan and Bryce and the team, if you scroll down, there's a link, and we have a $1 promo. You can click that link, and you can get, you know, our portfolio that we kind of recommend for beginners. So scroll down, check out that link if you're interested. If not, we'll be here for you to kind of help educate you. But Brendan, any tips or tricks for the Sarge just starting out?
Yeah, you know, what I'll say here, Sarge, is, yeah, like Tivo said, welcome. It's good to have you, man. My thoughts here are, number one, nothing we say here is financial advice. But number two is, when it comes to investing, typically speaking, my thought process, the way that I like to play the markets, is I don't like to buy all-time highs. It can be really scary and risky to come in at a time where we're at all-time highs. Now, I think if we pull back away from those a little bit or a lot, then it makes a lot more sense. So generally, the way that I like to play the markets, I'm a trader. You know, I do investing as well. But, you know, as Bitcoin and crypto pulls back, I think if you are new, number one, don't overcomplicate it. You know, people will tell you all these crazy altcoins and stuff to get into. I think stick to maybe the top 10, top 20 cryptos at the most. I really wouldn't go too outside of that pool until you're really, really familiar with crypto and what you're getting yourself into. But I think start high level, you know, start high level, wait for pullbacks to enter in. Don't FOMO in at the all-time high. If it's, you know, if there's a pullback, that's a different story. But also, like, look at what is trending upwards. The trend is your friend. If something has not been trending upwards since maybe April, I would say maybe look for something that has been trending upwards since April. We've had a really solid market rally across the board in both the traditional financial markets and equities, but also in crypto especially. So most cryptos should have been rallying since April, like pretty well. So I'd also use that as a little bit of a compass. Like, all right, how has it been performing since April? Is it at all-time highs right now? Or is it pulling back a little bit? If it's pulling back, great. And yeah, and then just don't overcomplicate it. So those are some of my top tips for beginners. Tivo, anything else?
Yeah, I think you're such a seasoned and successful trader that it's great to hear from you in your opinion. But I also think that when it comes to just kind of getting started and involved, there's stats around buying all-time highs for the S&P. And it's like, if you buy every all-time high, the S&P 1, 3, and 5 years later, you're up like, you know, 80-90% of the time, some crazy stats. Same thing with Bitcoin, shorter history. So you can't necessarily compare that history to the S&P 500. But you got to learn, you got to educate, and you got to find your strategy. And we would love to be a part of your education process. I think you know, we got this YouTube channel, the podcast, so you're in the right spot. Subscribe, come back to our lives, and again, check out those links below if you're interested in learning more and getting more exposure to Brendan and the team as a whole. You know, that's what we do. We're here every day doing this stuff, so it's all about education, and just you got to start somewhere. So I think, you know, by taking the leap and getting started, you're in the right place, but just make sure you educate and make sure you learn about risk management.
Yeah, 100%, man. So, you know, I have a saying, when in doubt, zoom out. So if you're looking at a crypto that you hold, use that saying, when in doubt, go to a chart, zoom out a lot. If the asset is only depreciating over the long term, over the last couple of years, it's probably not a great asset the majority of the time. So use that as a, you know, use that how you will. Again, nothing we say here is financial advice of any kind, but when in doubt, zoom out. That's why we like Bitcoin. That's why we like a lot of crypto so much, is because we can zoom out. We can see, okay, hey, you know, regardless of the short term, they're going to have dips and this and that. But we like to buy them on dips because the long term is to the upside. And I think that's where Bitcoin does so, so well. So,
yeah. Wow. Brendan, another hour episode. Unbelievable, but yeah, it's the norm, and I think as you say, we have fun doing it. And shout out to everybody in the chat. A lot of new names today. I'm kind of, half of me's super excited, half of me's a little sad because I feel like we didn't see our normal DNT NFT and all the other friends that have been here literally every day. Must be busy Thursday. They're getting after it. I'm sure they'll catch the replay. But super pumped to see all the new names, guys, and a huge viewer count, huge chat interaction. So if you're new here, last call, please like the video, subscribe. It helps a ton. Hit the notifications, turn the bell on. We're doing at least two of these a week, if not three, with Brian and Joe. It's been super fun. 2 weeks. We've only been doing it for 2 weeks, but these episodes are so long, it feels like we've been doing it more. And the numbers, man. I'm all about the numbies. The numbers have been super awesome. So thank you, guys.
Spot on. Well, hey, we appreciate everyone coming in here. We're going to continue to pump these out every single week. Next week, I guess, there's a little bit of a caveat. I'm not going to be around next week, but TiVo, you are.
Yeah. I'm going to be around. I might bring on a guest. So we might have a guest on Monday. So we might only do two again next week. I might bring a special guest to do a rundown with, and then definitely have one with Brian and Joe. Maybe I'll tap Bryce, see if we can get him on. He's so busy, but we're going to have a great interview with Bryce on Tuesday. I'm not sure exactly who it is. So I can't tease that quite yet. Maybe Franklin Templeton. Hey, big laser eyes on Benjamin Franklin for Franklin Templeton. So, a great week of content, and enjoy your time, Brendan. I hope the markets rip while you're gone and we get you back. Super excited to hear about your travel trip and continue on into the fall with a lot of momentum.
Likewise, man. Well, thank you all for tuning in here. We appreciate all of your time, and we'll see all of you next week in another video. Take care.